Let's go to the phone once again, as it's 1:30 on a Monday afternoon. It is our old pal Dan Lucas from OregonCatalyst.com. Hi, Dan.
How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing good. Is it smoky where you are, too?
It is. It looks almost like a fog.
Doesn't it? It's weird. Just an orangey haze. I feel like I'm in Los Angeles on the worst day ever.
Yeah, no, it's. I can't wait for it to go away.
Well, it should by, they say, maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow, some coast winds blowing in.
Man, it's ugly.
Okay, so I got up this morning. As always, I opened up my local litter box liner, and there was Dan Lucas's smiling face, and the title of the article was "The Real Danger of Being Politically Correct." And I looked forward to reading it because I thought, boy, he's going to nail somebody in Oregon. And then I saw, oh, you're going to England. So tell me, what's this all about?
So, you know, one of the aspects of this that's kind of interesting is how little coverage it's getting in the United States. I mean, there's an article in the New York Times, but I'll mention that a little bit later, but I think there's a real problem here where our media is not covering the way they should.
Hmm.
And what I wrote about is how political correctness hurts real people. It's not just something that we've got to fight in the universities and everything. This is a case where a lot of young girls were absolutely and horrifically hurt by political correctness. And it's a story about over 1,400 young girls over a course of, I think it's like 16 years, in a town of about the size of Salem. It's called Rotherham, and I'm probably pronouncing it incorrectly, but it's in northern England, and it's got a population right around Salem's population, and they had over 1,400 girls, some as young as age 11, who were being sexually abused and sexually trafficked.
Wow.
And the police heard about it, the town council heard about it, the social services agencies heard about it, there were official reports, and everybody ignored it for 16 years.
That's incredible.
It's awful. I mean, I write about it in my article, but there was one couple that the New York Times reported about. They were so frustrated that they couldn't get their daughter safely away from the perpetrators that they actually sold their business and moved to Spain to get her safe.
That's amazing. And I know that there's the greater point of your story here, but just to get into the nitty-gritty just a little bit, for somebody to have to take their child and move away to Spain, let me ask you this, how are these guys getting these girls? I mean, how do the folks not know about it? You know what I mean?
Right. And so what they would do, and I think they probably started with, girls, again, as young as age 11, and they would, you know, like an older male, say 19 or whatever, would become friends with them, and then it would slowly lead to, like they would rape them, and then they would threaten their family. They'd say, if you tell anyone, we'll kill you, or we'll take your sister and do the same to her. One little girl they doused with gasoline and said, if you tell anybody, we'll set you on fire.
Oh, my.
I mean, these people were just monsters.
So it wasn't a matter of grabbing these girls, taking them somewhere away from their family and holding them for years. They literally went home then every night afterwards.
Yes. Oh, and most of the girls were just terrified. And the few that did report to the police didn't do anything. And then if these monsters found out about it, they would do things. And one of them, they put a gun to her head and said, I think they had pulled the trigger and it was an empty chamber. And they said, next time it will be loaded if you tell anybody. And, of course, my first thought was, how did they get a gun if they're in England?
Oh, yeah. Well, we could go down a whole nother path there, couldn't we?
Right. Of course, the bad guys don't have any trouble getting guns. So,
as usual.
Yeah. And so the thing that was really disturbing and caused me to, I mean, the whole thing is just awful. But there was part of the reason, a big part of the reason, so they did this report, and that's what I wrote about. So the town council finally said, well, we got to have a report on this. And so this doctor did a report on it. And what she found was one of the major reasons why this thing did not get properly investigated or prosecuted is because of political correctness. And it was because the majority of the girls were white, and the perpetrators were Pakistani men.
Oh, boy. So how does political correctness come into it then?
Because the police, the town council, nobody wanted to address it because they thought, well, I don't want to be accused of being racist.
Oh, my goodness. So you're right. This is far beyond whether we should call the Washington Redskins the Redskins or not. This is
exactly
nefarious. This is horrendous.
Yes. Yeah, and I think it was for 16 years, and this went on. And you know, Bill, I read about it at the end of my article. How many girls went through these horrific circumstances because people were paralyzed by political correctness? It's just, it's awful. And, you know, and I write in my article, I don't think that political correctness caused this problem.
No.
But it certainly made it where they didn't properly investigate or prosecute for 16 years.
It leaves me, when, like I said, when I read the letter or the article this morning, it left me speechless. Political correctness is an issue that, again, I think, as you pointed out, rightly so, most of us think, oh, it's, you know, it's the Washington Redskins, you know, so on and so forth, that sort of thing. No, you said it, as you pointed out, it's a real danger now.
It is. And, you know, and if people want to, you can, there's a link to the actual report from that, the town of Rotherham. And the website, which is so sick, the little town of Rotherham, their little logo for the city says Rotherham Metropolitan Borough Council, where everyone matters.
Except,
I mean, how sick!
Yeah.
Somebody should get the death sentence just for that, you know, that sickness. They obviously don't care about their citizens. They don't care about people. They had 12-year-old girls who had come to the police, and these police officers, and this is beyond political correctness, this is just completely inappropriate sexist behavior by the police. They would call these 12-year-old girls tarts.
Oh,
like,
my.
Well, yeah, this is your fault.
Yeah.
But the, you know, so there's several problems to address, but the one that is just horrific is that political correctness paralyzed. It paralyzed the social, you know, their equivalent of DHS over there. It paralyzed the police. It paralyzed the town council. It probably, to a certain degree, and I know it did, paralyzed the media, because if you read BBC reports about this, they're still tiptoeing around the topic.
Really? Like not saying who the perpetrators were?
Right. They're very reluctant to talk about the fact that the perpetrators were Pakistani. So, Bill, the BBC is still doing the very same thing that contributed to this happening in the first place. They don't get it. They don't get that they helped cause this.
It's crazy. I how did you come across this story yourself?
I don't remember. I saw it somewhere, and I started reading about it, and I thought, well, this can't be real. You know, this could never happen anywhere, especially England, a supposedly civilized country. But I'll tell you, whatever civilization they had over there is gone. I mean, if you can stomach it, you can read a little bit of that report, and it's just despicable. The police and the town council over there are just animals. Yet I no longer think of them as a civilized country.
No.
Anybody who could do this is just unbelievable.
And you said early on the report was from an independent inquiry commissioned by the town council.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I wonder how that finally came about.
Well, I think there was one newspaper over there that kept pushing on it. And I think that pressure finally, it wasn't BBC, but it finally got them to kind of have to look at the issue. And then once it did, you know, this is actually has become a scandal, rightly so, in England. And if you read in there, this isn't the only place this has happened, but this is the biggest example of it. And it's just, they've taken political correctness and just gone run amok with it, and it's hurting real people.
And you mentioned, again, Dan Lucas with us, you mentioned that, according to the New York Times, even some of the girls that were abused were from within the Pakistani community.
Yes, and that was something that the woman covered in the reports. She said, even though, you know, these reports are all from white English girls, she said, you know, in speaking with it, and a lot of people in the Pakistani community were upset because they said, quit tiptoeing around this problem. In other words, they don't like the fact that everybody's being politically correct either. Because, you know, they said, do you think this is only happening to white girls? They said, this is also happening in our community, but because of cultural taboos and everything, nobody will report it.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of people in the Pakistani community that were just as upset that the town council and the police were tiptoeing around to be for political correctness concerns.
When we say political correctness run amok, this is the ultimate in example. I mean, this is just horrendous. I don't know how else to say it.
It's just awful. And like I said, this report you know, if you even read a little bit about it, it's really hard to read, because what happened to those girls, and these are 11-year-old girls, 12-year-old girls, it's just, it's heart-wrenching. And imagine what they went through, you know?
Forever damaged. Forever damaged.
Yeah, they had to live this. And they were, I mean, and for some of them, like that poor, the poor mom and dad who wanted to get their daughter away from the perpetrator, the only way they could do it was to sell their business and move to Spain.
That's, yeah. Wow. Let me ask you this. This is just, you know, off the top of my head, just something as you're thinking about this, as you were looking at this. Maybe not in the same way, but how, what are we missing here in America that political correctness may, or what might we be missing that political correctness is preventing? You know what I'm saying? Where could we maybe see the same thing going on in America?
Well, I mean, one example that comes to mind is, because I actually worried about this with everything that went on in Ferguson. You know, I mean, if a police officer now has to worry about, okay, not only just is like my life's in danger or that this person's endangering the community, but I have to worry about all these politically correct concerns, what's the ramification of that, the long-term ramification of that? You know, are more police officers going to get killed? Are more people going to be reluctant to become police officers?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just one tiny example. But, you know, what I feel, and I hopefully everybody feels this way, is that everybody should be treated equally, no exceptions.
Exactly.
And that means, you know, just like nobody in that community should not be denied a job or housing or anything because of their, you know, ethnic origins or whatever, they also should not be immune from anything. If there's a belief that they've committed a crime, they should be prosecuted just like anybody else.
Yeah. Wow.
And the police and the town council and everybody should not have to worry about being called racist just for doing their job.
Yeah. That's amazing. Well, I'm glad you found this story, and I hope that maybe it gets some legs out there, just even though it's past tense, but it sure tells us what the future could look like. I would say...
And it's a real problem, Bill, because think about that. Okay, so, yeah, and Rachel reminded me, she sent me this, I think Rich Lowry in the National Review wrote about it, and that's where I first saw about it, and
okay.
Then I started doing research. But imagine, okay, so this is over 1,400 young girls, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you hadn't heard about it. Most people haven't.
No. 1,400 is a big number. Yeah,
the local paper had not heard about it.
I wonder.
Yeah,
how did they react?
So, right. Well, they were shocked, and they hadn't heard about it. So here's what I thought was: can you imagine if somebody over in England had, you know, some crazed person had used an AR-15 and killed 14, 11-year-old girls? That would be front page of every paper. It would be on ABC, CBS. And be, you know, every major network for weeks.
Worldwide.
And this happens to 1,400 young girls, and we don't hear a peep about it.
No. Tells you a lot. Tells you everything you need to know.
That's political correctness right there.
A whole other version. Yeah, I was just going to say that. Okay, Dan Lucas. So this article is in the local newspaper. I'll say the name just for now, just because it's Dan. StatesmanJournal.com. You can see the article or pick up a local newspaper. It's in today's editorial page on under opinion. Will you have it posted at your website too?
Yes, I'll have it up on Oregon Catalyst tomorrow. But today it's on in the Statesman Journal.
Okay. All right. Dan, thanks as always every week. I appreciate it.
Very good. Thank you, Bill.
Take care.
All righty. Bye bye.
All right. So, shocking. Political correctness got, again, the title, The Real Danger of Being Politically Correct. See, now it's gone beyond just, oh, you hurt my feelings, to 1,400 baby girls, little girls, abused in the most horrific ways. And it went on because of political correctness. Wow. Wow. And I'm just, that's all I keep saying ever since I read that story.